Hey, good Tuesday morning, Las Vegas. This is LasVegasSun.com Sports Talk right here, 91.5 KUNV, Las Vegas, the source. I'm Ray Brewer, alongside Taylor Byrne, Case Kiefer, talking all things Las Vegas sports every Tuesday, 7 a.m., even in the summer, right here on 91.5. Today, we got a loaded show. We got a lot to talk about. One interesting story that came out on your beat, Taylor, last week was UNLV football potentially moving its home date with Arizona September 7th to open the season to Phoenix at the University of Phoenix Stadium. And some people are like, hey, it's great. UNLV is going to get a payday. We don't know what that payday is. And other people are like, well, that's awful. I paid for my season tickets. I want to see Arizona. And why would you move a game when you could potentially, and I say potentially, and this is not me, win at home against a Pac-12 team?
I'll disagree with you on one point. Nobody's saying it's great they're going to get a payday. The feeling is that the closest thing to that is that people understand the situation, the fact that UNLV essentially needs the money, and so it's a move that could, you know, just helps everything else in a game that you, in my opinion, weren't going to win anyway. Still, that was the marquee home game on the home slate. Now it'll still be, as long as this goes through, and we're expecting to hear about that early this week, possibly even by the time this airs. We're taping this Monday morning. I think all indications are it's going to happen. So it'll be in Glendale, Arizona, which is essentially Phoenix, University of Phoenix Stadium. Arizona's never played there before, so it's a good opportunity for them to, you know, kind of show that to recruits that, hey, we're playing in this NFL stadium. It's what UNLV does as compensation, I think that's the interesting thing about it right now, other than how much money they're actually getting. I asked a lot of fans, what amount would make this okay with you? I heard a lot of people saying $1 million, which I just don't see that happening at all. Judging by some other games that are kind of not moved, but are set up just for you to go to some places, some schools' home, and essentially take a loss. My guess would be maybe 300,000, but that's all, you know, it's kind of speculation based on other sort of similar situations right now. We should find out this week. It is what it is, I guess, if you're UNLV. The problem is it admits to being a lesser program, in my opinion. It doesn't look good. I understand why you would do it, but if I'm a UNLV fan, I'm not happy about this at all.
Here's my question. We all know that UNLV athletics not in the best shape financially. It's no secret. They're the only program that's profitable is men's basketball. But to me, yeah, it's a red flag that this is a lesser program, but it's also a red flag how bad off is UNLV financially if the opportunity to make $100,000 or more off moving a game is just so great, you have to take it. I mean, to me, and then the other question is, how much do they make on a home day?
Yeah, and that's why we have to figure out the math of it to see just how much projected anyway better revenue this would be for UNLV. Not only let's just say it was a 300. Let's say Arizona gives them $300,000 for it, and that's just a guess right now. Then you have to subtract what you'd be losing from hosting the game. And this is your home opener, so people are going to turn out for this game, especially since it's a Pac-12 school. You were going to get Arizona fans driving to Vegas for the weekend. So not only are you taking money away from Sam Boyd in that way, you're taking money out of the local economy for people who are going to come up and, you know, and come for the weekend and all of that thing. Like it's a hard sell to make this work for fans. But if you're athletic director Jim Livengood, there's a lot of things you just have to do, I think, in his opinion, and I'm guessing this is one of them.
Yeah, and listen, we could debate either side of yes, go ahead and do it, or no, keep the game at home. Bottom line, it's tough to have the debate because we really don't know what the finances are.
Not yet.
Yep. Not yet. My dad, who is a Ohio State football fan to his deathbed, like literally his whole life is the Buckeyes, and when they lose the first time in the fall, he like goes in hibernation in his room for, you know, a month and swears at whoever the coach is and wonders why somebody's doing this. He gave me a story about how maybe 5 years ago they were scheduled to come out to play San Diego State in San Diego, and the year like just around this same time, they called San Diego State and they're like, "Hey, listen, we'll give you $750,000 if you come here and play." Mm-hmm. And that was it. Now, see, that's a lot different. $750,000. Sign anybody up. You'd be crazy not to take that.
Yeah, but the reason I don't think UNLV is, you know, looking at that type of money is, well, A, this isn't a home game for Arizona. It might as well be, but they're not bringing it to Tucson, so they're certainly going to pay less for a game at University of Phoenix than they would to get it in Tucson, where UNLV is scheduled to open up next season. The 2014 football season will open at Arizona, obviously pending any change, but there's that would be incredibly unlikely. Ohio State, actually, in the stories I was reading, looking for some comparative situations, Ohio State paid Navy $1 million for a game. It wasn't a switch thing. It was just to bring them in. And that's where I think a lot of people are like getting that figure from, like the reason that they think UNLV can get that.
That's Ohio State. The horseshoe is packed. People saved the whole year to get tickets to watch the Buckeyes play, and there's six home games a year, and each game is a holiday.
There's more than that.
Ohio State,
yeah, usually have like seven or eight with their, because they non-con. What you're talking about. They pay to bring San Diego State in,
yeah,
because it's worth it to them.
I think it was actually Ohio State either this year or this last year they were undefeated, right? I think they had nine home games.
Yeah.
Because I remember people being like, oh, they're undefeated, but they played at home nine times.
Exactly.
Or maybe that was 2 years ago, but I think they had nine home games over the last 2 years.
Well, either way, a home day is a moneymaker.
Yeah.
Now,
oh, yeah, that's why they want to have like as many as possible. It's a better chance for a win, and they bring in a lot of cash.
And just trying to speculate on the math of a UNLV home game at Sam Boyd Stadium, well, pick your favorite November day when – and you guys are great examples. You guys came from you're a Georgia fan. You covered, the Big 12. You covered the Big 12 as well, Case. And I guess people don't see me pointing on the radio. But, College Football Saturday – you got to get to the stadium hours ahead of time because you can't get stuck in traffic. And you guys in November, you leave UNLV plays at 7, you leave the house at 6:15.
Yep.
And you just drive right in. There's 8,000 people there, maybe. People buy season tickets for $90 a smash for the whole year. And it just begs, well, what does UNLV make off a home football game? And I mean, I would say nothing. It's a program that loses money every year.
Yeah, I mean that's what we have to look into right now, and that's a big part of why UNLV was even looking at moving this game. It's just that they have so many ventures that just aren't profitable. I mean, like a lot of UNLV is not entirely unique in the fact that the athletics department has budget issues. That's across the board for a lot of programs. I think the ones like the Ohio States are the exception, not the rule. But maybe UNLV is an exceptional case. That's something I'd actually like to, kind of dive into, and we can take a look at it, because it's also, with another money related thing that's come out of the UNLV beat recently is looking at the MAC renovations, which is something that affects much more than just the basketball program. But it is, people see Thompson Mack Center looking for $60 million, and it looks like crying poverty. It's a different situation and all of that, but for it to all be kind of in the same week kind of thing, it just adds to the overall feel from fans.
Yeah, this is such a unique city because we don't have a pro sports team. The university, with the exception of the basketball program that several love, nobody really cares about because we come from other cities and we like teams from the cities we came from. There's such a transient population. And anytime anybody wants to build something, whether it be the failed UNLV Now project.
Hold your horses on that.
Well,
I think failed is premature at this stage.
Well, I'm glad that you have optimism about it. That makes me happy because I don't – me, the Rebel fan, the UNLV grad –
You've been through more of these proposals and all that and seen them just die when there was no reason to. So you have much more reason to be pessimistic. I'll give you that.
Tell me why I should be optimistic. That's what I want to hear.
Well, because there's no the reason that it's started to stall and the reason that it looks delayed and all this, that's what I would call it right now, is delayed. It's not on the same timetable that it was this time last year.
Okay.
And that's just, it's like infighting between all the people who stand to profit from this, which is what I don't understand about it, because it makes a lot of sense for a lot of different people, but I think everybody's just kind of jockeying to get as big a piece of the pie as they can, or have as much power control of it as they can, that it's just, it's you know, getting in the way of everything else.
Is this UNLV Now the mega event center, or is this a scaled down version of UNLV Now?
What
you're talking about?
What do you mean, the Mac?
No. Forget about the Mac. You got me excited about a potential football stadium.
Yeah,
which is all I've really wanted.
Yeah. So are you saying would the reality have to be a scaled down
version?
I always thought the 100-yard screen was a dumb idea, but that's one small part of it. I think seating and the student village kind of part of it, trying to create dorms and more of a life. I think you have to, if you're going to build it on campus, you got to go through with all that. You're trying to change what it means to be a student at UNLV. I think right now there's something close to like 1,000 kids that actually live on campus at UNLV. Does that sound right to you?
That might be a little low, but...
Yeah, but I mean, it's just not a... There's not like a much campus atmosphere, you know, and I think this could help change that. And could it help the football program? Sure. I don't think Sam Boyd is the reason that UNLV doesn't win. You and I disagree on that.
It's part of the reason.
Oh, sure, it's part, but not a big part, not the biggest.
I think economics and money is a huge part of why UNLV doesn't win. And the stadium has to go in that same
boat. It's part of it, but is the new stadium all of a sudden mean that you're going to be able to pay twice the salary for your coach?
Well, maybe indirectly. I mean, is it A, going to give you more revenue? I would think so.
It should.
It should.
But we're talking about a slow process.
Very slow. And you pay for what you get, and I've said this to you a few times in the newsroom, UNLV's assistant coaches are basically high school football coaches. They're $80,000 a year employees. Mark Wallington might kill me when he hears me say this. I'm a huge UNLV fan. Everybody knows that. But you just can't get it done with what we're paying these guys. You know, the whole program, and it's not Bobby. Bobby does a great job. Bobby is doing as good as me. No. Tell me.
Oh, the look on Case's face right
there. Case, listen.
Great.
Listen to this. Listen.
Yeah, let's hear
what
this.
What we're doing is we're setting ourselves. Bobby will fail next year in 13. He'll be fired. We'll bring in another guy for 3 or 4 years. What is this other guy going to do different than Bobby?
Win more than 2 games a year.
No. Forget about it. Samford.
Samford had a much better career than Bobby.
No doubt.
He almost made a bowl game.
Almost, but he did. What I'm saying.
That's pretty good when you haven't been.
Should we have kept the guy another 5 years?
A lot closer
than
Bobby has been.
Bobby, listen, the cupboard was bare when Bobby got here.
Yeah, and it's 3 years later and the cupboard's still bare.
Well, yeah, okay, the cupboard's still bare. It's Bobby's fault. UNLV football sucks.
What do you mean the cover's still bare? You think the guy you just brought in, Adonis Smith, can be like the best running back in the league?
I like Adonis Smith.
I know you do.
I just, as more of a perspective of a guy that isn't around every day and covering, I'm looking at it more. If I was a UNLV fan, I would be so frustrated in the absolute complete lack of progress in my mind that I've seen when I've been having you sit next to me tell me every year, oh, wait till you see this guy. Wait till they get this guy up there. Oh, they're going to win 6 games this year. I haven't seen any of that. And if you're a coach, it shouldn't matter how much you're getting paid. If you get this job, this is a great launching point for you. If you win a bowl game at UNLV or if you create some success, you're going to go on to get a better job and get paid. So I don't take the argument that he doesn't get paid enough. I mean, come on.
Bobby's
okay.
We got to
stop making excuses for these
Bobby
guys.
Bobby makes a decent wage, but it's Bobby can't coach everything. There's inadequacies across the board.
Starting at the top.
Who brought in all these guys that are coaching?
Yeah, when the coordinators, they're all his guys. Like up until this year, when he brought in his brother and brought in Rosenbaum to call the offense, all of those guys basically came with him from Montana. That's his crew. Those guys have worked together, had success together before. And they're with him.
This is what I think.
Maybe I'm wrong.
If they say Bobby, when he came in, you're going to have 2.5 times as much to spend on assistant coaches. I think he's bringing in the exact same assistant coaches.
No way.
And very close to the exact same. And I think they're having the just about exact same level of success. What's he going to do? Is he going to hire Kirby Smart away from Alabama? And Kirby Smart's going to come be the defensive coordinator? Who do you think you're going to get? Well, this is ridiculous.
Somebody between Kirby Smart and the guy that was your secondary coach at Montana.
Most of the guys he's going to bring, I don't care if it was double the money or the guys from Montana.
I think he was bringing that staff. Yeah.
They had great success. I mean, that's why I think that was
part of the negotiation. I was not around, but I bet when they were talking to Bobby and they were talking about assistants and they said, you guys have all, and this is on, like UNLV's, hiring team, you guys have had success. I understand the plan is to, bring everybody with you. We think that's we can go with that. We're going to try that. And they've tried it for 3 years. They switch, people had been moved around to different stuff last year. But this is the first time that there's been some real new injection. There was one guy that he previously worked with last year from UCLA. But most of the entire staff is just his –
My one complaint about the way Bobby's done things is that oftentimes I feel like he still recruits like he's at Montana. And we've got this thing called California very close to us.
There's a lot of you bring this up all the time, and I once had the numbers to wait for you, and it's been a while since you said it. There are a lot of Californians on this roster.
I know, but none of them that run fast. Is there a problem with wanting an athlete on the team that can stretch the field?
No, Al Davis. There's
one player
not.
On the team
there's
that's
not.
Quick, and I catch better than he does.
That's possible. We're speaking of Marcus Sullivan, of course. What about your boy?
Who's that?
Your new favorite receiver from last year.
That guy's pretty good, Anthony Williams.
Yeah,
that's your favorite. Anthony almost won me a chimichanga.
But he did not.
Yeah. LasVegasSun.com Sports Talk every Tuesday, 7 a.m., right here on the 91.5 KUNV. Shout out, I've heard from two people this past week that are listening to the show.
Oh, a whole two.
Yeah, shout out to both of those guys for waking up every Tuesday. You guys are the best. And
you're up earlier than Case and I.
Yeah.
Any names or just two people?
Two people. I've talked to them both, and I appreciate them listening. Shifting gears, staying on our financial theme, Money Mayweather.
Look at that transition.
That's
there.
What I get paid for. I'm a Mr. Segway. It's my nickname.
Only Bobby Howe can be paid like Money Mayweather, which he deserves.
Yeah. Well, come on. Listen, here's my deal with Floyd. Okay, he beat Robert Guerrero rather convincingly, took home $32+ million. Yay, everything's great. He's got another four fights left with Showtime.
Five,
whatever it is.
It's five more.
Yeah, and then he says he's done. He says five more, and I'm done.
He might as well be done now.
He said he's done all the time, but that one I would actually just...
This one I actually kind of believe.
Because that's essentially what, like 2 years, 2.5?
Yeah, I mean, with his current schedule, with how he's done it in the past, it'd be more like 3 years, but because he's only fought like maybe once a year, and then every once in a while has two sprinkled in. But he says he wants to get it done in like 2.5 years. So he says he'll be done, and I kind of believe him, because even after the first time he retired, he's kind of like, I'm retiring, but you never know, I might come back. This time he seems a little bit more steadfast in it, and he'll be probably 39, 40 years old. So
yeah,
I think he really wants to retire undefeated.
Yeah, a lot can happen.
He's real old now. He's like 36. Yeah, I'm 37. 36. So
wow.
Yeah.
You guys could have been in the plan and diapers together.
Yeah. Here's my deal. With the exception of Canelo, I don't know if there's anybody out there that I'd want to watch this guy fight.
I agree with that, but I'm not plugged in enough to know if there's like some good contenders. Canelo's like the only one I know, and I think Mayweather, I like Alvarez, but I think Mayweather would beat him pretty soundly.
Yeah, I think Canelo is the most interesting fight, too. I think there's a bunch of guys kind of in the second tier. I mean, maybe like seven or eight guys that are all close, but just not quite good enough. I mean, I'd still like to see him fight Pacquiao, even though it wouldn't be the same. So I guess there's two guys, I think, in the top tier that you would like to see him fight in those next five fights. And there's a bunch kind of right below.
Who are the two guys in the next tier?
I think there's a bunch of guys. I mean, Devin Alexander.
No, he was talking about Canelo and Pacquiao.
I said Canelo and Pacquiao are still tier one. Well, it's not going to happen, but as far as you're saying, who do you want to see him fight? If in an ideal world, two of his last five fights for me would be Pacquiao and Canelo. And then I think in the next tier, there's like seven or eight guys who right now, even though there's not very many other guys for him to fight, if he booked them, everyone's going to complain and say he's ducking everyone. These guys don't necessarily not deserve it. They're going to be underdogs, and he should win.
What if Bradley beats Manuel Marquez September 14th? Would you want to see Bradley Mayweather?
I think Bradley's in the next group, too, but the problem is Top Rank and Golden Boy just will not – or Top Rank and Mayweather Promotions, too. They're just – none of those guys are going to fight each other. They're in a cold war right now. This is why I made myself kind of look stupid on Twitter when Abner Mares, who I think is just going to be the best pound-for-pound boxer in the world probably in the next 2 years in the co-main event, just – destroy Daniel Ponce de Leon, who's really well-known guy. I said, why is Mares not fighting Donaire? I mean, they're the same weight. They're two of the best boxers in the world. And everyone's like, oh, Top Rank. And I'm like, oh, okay, that makes sense. Top Rank, Golden Boy. So I think it's the same thing.
That shouldn't
make
sense, though. That's
well, I
so
mean,
dumb.
No, it doesn't make sense. It's ridiculous, but that's how I...
Yeah.
You get you Don that. King involved, he makes the fight happen.
Ever since your sit-down, you love Don King.
One of the guys sitting next to me, you would not have liked then at the fight. He was just, he was all over Don King.
Was he wearing sweatpants? Well,
no, he was
They set Kiefer like in the third row. Me, I'm like row eight always. So you got some respect in the combat sport community.
Well, yeah, you should.
I guess.
Mr. MMA.
I don't really know any. I don't really know all the boxing people, though. Yeah. It's like, hey, I just got lucky.
I tell you what, though. I was going back on Twitter when I woke up Sunday morning and reading some of your tweets, and the press conference as chaotic as usual. Yeah.
So there was a fight that broke out?
Yeah, I couldn't. It was so far away. I mean, I was in the very front. I had to save my seat, like in the first row.
This was two media members at the press conference.
No. I'm pretty sure it was someone
like Entourage.
I think it was someone in the Entourage, but I don't think it was a money team. The money team hadn't shown up yet. Everyone was thought it was Ruben Guerrero at first, but I don't think it was. But yeah, so just all of a sudden, all the attention goes to the back of the room where guys are like yelling at each other, and then a whole huge circle surrounds them, so I can literally see nothing. Our Las Vegas Sun.com's own Johnny Katz was right next to there, standing there. So I tried to get some information from him from what happened, but he said it was kind of much ado about nothing. It was just a couple guys getting in each other's faces, and he didn't really know.
If I was there, I would have walked directly to the car and called it a night.
Well, this was before Floyd had even come out.
That's
or Guerrero.
Either.
Guerrero had a great press conference showing. He came in, took the mic from Floyd, and said, man, this is what it's all about. Just want to thank God and spread the gospel. And that's it. That's it. I'm done. And then walked off. So that was his comments after the fight.
And who's he fight next? Nobody? He's done?
I mean, I don't think he's going to get many more $3 million paydays, but he'll stay on the scene. And one of the things that Mayweather always makes part of his what's the word I'm looking for? His repertoire or his propaganda is that, man, these guys fight me, and then all of a sudden they've made a name for themselves. Like
they disappeared.
He's like, Victor Ortiz got to go do Dancing with the Stars and all this. And then Victor Ortiz had that pretty big payday against Josecito Lopez to see who fought Canelo Alvarez. So I could see Robert Guerrero parlaying this into a few, like, $500,000 paydays. I mean, if he fights a guy like Victor Ortiz, that's a pretty decent fight. That's going to be a main event, and, I mean, they'll sell a couple hundred thousand pay-per-views.
Victor Ortiz got knocked off last week at Dancing with Stars.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He was at the fight, so I should have known.
We needed Ray for that info. There's no way Kate's
hurt. I haven't actually been following this season as close as I usually do. It's just Dancing with Stars, there used to be actually a lot of stars on there, or... Now it's like Dancing with D-list celebrities, you
Dancing
know.
With Victor Vicious.
Victor Ortiz.
Vicious Ortiz.
Some girl from the Disney station I've never heard of. Sean Lowe from The Bachelor, which, of course, everybody knows is one of my favorite shows.
Vicious got booed heavily.
At the fight?
Yeah.
I wonder why.
Bunch of money fans?
Yeah, I think it was mostly money
Get
fans.
Get money!
Wow.
Okay. Thanks for that.
About that.
Can we get Floyd to make a donation to UNLV football?
Doubtful.
I don't think he sees that as a sound investment. He'd rather buy a 20th new car.
Yeah. My question, do you think Floyd is – how? If you had to guess, he got $32 million plus whatever he got off pay-per-view for his fight Saturday. If you had to guess net worth Floyd Mayweather Jr.?
Well – I'm always confused with net worth because that just does that include all his assets and everything?
Yeah, okay. I think it's every
if he cashed in every car, house, whatever it
and
is,
and subtract any debts.
And subtract debts. What's he worth considering his M problems?
His aunt, oh,
going. He's at the M Sportsbook putting $100,000 yeah. on games, which adds up quick. I'm sure
75. Is that too low? Too high?
I mean, I know nothing about this. So I was probably wrong, but I was thinking like. I was thinking definitely a six. I was thinking definitely over 100.
Over 100.
It probably should yeah. be. Yeah.
I mean, you got to think these last.
Yeah, few, with yeah, with all these paydays recently.
The thing
yeah.
was, he was bankrupt before the first De La Hoya fight, right? Yeah. I'm pretty sure. But that fight he made like, I mean, that's kind of when the money thing started. Is I think they both made over $50 million just for that yeah. fight. So.
Do you follow Noah Robotham, the Bishop Gorman basketball guard?
I do
Twitter?
Not.
He's Floyd Mayweather's next door neighbor.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So he's been. He was tweeting all Sunday night. He's like, I can't sleep. Floyd's having a victory party.
That's awesome.
I do follow Shabazz Muhammad, who tweeted a picture with him with Floyd Mayweather. And anyone who hasn't seen Floyd in person, I think it was like the perfect photo to show how tiny Floyd
is
because
so small.
He's like up to Shabazz's waist. And I mean, Shabazz obviously tall, an NBA player, yeah. but. He's not like a giant. It shows you how small Floyd is.
Of course, you could always see how small Floyd is when he's just surrounded by the money team.
Yeah, who, yeah, that's true.
Who are like four times his size.
And even Robert Guerrero kind of dwarfed him. The it, ghost.
The, what I found cool was the Floyd Mayweather money team T-shirts, as you point out on Twitter, Case. $50 for a T-shirt?
$50.
Money team's got to make money somehow.
I mean... Good for him.
And they sold plenty of them.
And that, McLemore would not approve
that's
buying
exactly
a $50 t-shirt.
Thinking. Yeah, that's exactly what I was
That's just
thinking.
Some ignorant yeah. stuff right there.
LasVegasSun.com Sports Talk. We're here, folks, every Tuesday morning, 7 a.m. During the week at 7 a.m. on the other days, our friends at Las Vegas Sun talk about the things they cover, business, entertainment, food, politics, all that good stuff. So make sure you come back every day and do what you got to do to support the station. We really enjoy talking to you, and we will talk to everybody next Tuesday.
Yeah, next week when we talk about the Las Vegas Sun Sports Olympics, right?
I know. I was going to start right away with who wins the 50-yard dash or 40-yard dash.
40-yard.
40-yard. But I'm off that horse because I'm busy today. So you're the best. Thanks for listening, folks.